Jack and Chief Inspector Pierre have been making great progress. They identified the redhead thief, Karl Pont, followed him to Calais, and found the stolen Mona Lisa. Unfortunately for Jack, the thief has also found them. He's bashed Pierre with a club and locked Jack in his van. Thankfully, there was light coming from an air vent above. Jack paused for a minute and tried to think of what to do. He thought of Max and what his brother would do in a situation like this. Since Max was taller than Jack, he figured he'd probably try to get out through the vent. "That's it," Jack said. Although he couldn't reach the vent, he had a gadget that could. He reached into his bag and took out what felt like an ordinary piece of wood. But this was the Global Protection Force's ratchet step. He placed it on the floor and stood on top. "Six steps, please," Jack commanded. Click, click, click. The piece of wood built itself upwards into a ladder that lifted Jack up to the hole. Unfortunately, he was too big to fit through, but Jack had another idea. He ejected his melting ink pen from the side of his watch phone and drew a circle around the vent. The ink melted through the steel and Jack pulled himself up onto the roof. He could see Chief Inspector Pierre unconscious on the floor with the club lying beside him, but there was no sign of the red-haired man. Jack carefully climbed down the back of the truck and knelt beside Henri. He pulled a small tub of time-release vapours from his pocket and rubbed some under Henri's nose. "That should help you wake up," whispered Jack. Just then, he heard the red-haired man's voice coming from the front of the van.
"Yeah, the kid is here," Carl said. "I've got him in the back of the van. Not sure what I'm going to do with him and the inspector. I don't want anyone else from the GPF on our tail. Any suggestions, boss?"
Boss, thought Jack. So there is someone else behind this.
"Right, no problem," continued Carl. "I'll toss them into the sea during the voyage. Speak to you when I reach Dover."
Jack had to act quickly, or he and Henri were toast. Jack climbed back onto the top of the van. He saw Carl open the front door and step out with a rope in his hands. The thief made his way back to the chief inspector. Just as Carl was about to wrap the rope around him, Henri's eyes opened. The time-release vapours had worked.
"Get off me, you thief!" Henri shouted.
He grabbed the rope and struggled with the red-haired man. With one swift move, Carl grabbed his club and whacked Henri on the head again, knocking him unconscious for a second time. "Leave him alone!" screamed Jack as he jumped onto the man's back. Karl Pont stood up quickly, throwing Jack onto the floor.
"That will teach you, you little brat!"
he scowled, then pulled a black glove from his trouser pocket and put it on his right hand. Out of his fingertips shot five red lasers. He aimed the glove in Jack's direction. Quickly, Jack dived between two cars. Zap! The lasers sliced through the front end of one of the cars.
"Come here, kid. Let me show you how this laser really works," Carl sniggered.
Jack scurried between the cars.
"You can't get away from me, you little brat," Carl said, running in Jack's direction.
Jack could hear the whir of the laser coming closer. He hurried down the lane of vehicles and hid behind a truck.
"You can't hide forever," the man growled.
Jack rummaged desperately through his book bag. "Where is it?" he muttered to himself. He was searching for the one thing that might be able to save him. "That's it," he said aloud as he pulled the life-saving gadget out of his bag. He took a deep breath and stood up from behind the truck. He looked directly at the red-haired man.
"Okay, Carl," Jack yelled. "Give me all you've got."
The red-haired man lifted his glove and aimed the lasers at Jack. Instantly, Jack lifted his left hand. In it was a round, flat disc with swirls of colour. Jack was holding the mother of all secret agent gadgets, the hypno-disc. Normally, the hypno-disc would spin in a clockwise direction, throwing out a light that would hypnotise someone on the spot. But Jack had activated the reverse mechanism. Instead of sending out light, the hypno-disc was sucking in all the light from Carl's deadly laser glove, making it useless. Carl stood facing Jack with a look of panic on his face. Now Jack had all the power. The villain had heard about the hypnodisc's powers. He gulped and did what any sensible criminal would do. He dropped to the floor and began pleading for mercy.
"Please don't hurt me, kid," Carl begged. "I didn't mean it. I was just doing what I was told to do."
Jack thought for a moment. "I suppose I could spare your life," he said, "if you tell me who you are working for." Jack and the chief inspector walked into the glass atrium of the Paris Securité office on the Champs-Élysées. They marched past the woman at the front desk, still busily chewing her gum, and up to the third floor. Chief Inspector Pierre flung open the office door. Monsieur Dupré was sitting at his desk with his back to them. He was so engrossed in a phone conversation, he didn't even hear them enter the room.
"Yes, that's right," said Monsieur Dupré into the receiver. "You can have the actual Mona Lisa for the reasonable price of 100 million euros.
"Ahem," coughed Henri.
"Huh?"
said Monsieur Dupré as he looked over his shoulder. When he saw Jack and the chief inspector, he spun his chair so fast he banged his knee on the corner of the desk.
"Oh!"
he howled in pain, hunched over the desk and rubbing his knee. He slowly put the receiver down.
"I arrest you, Denis Dupré, for masterminding the theft of the Mona Lisa and the other works of art found in Karl Pont's possession," declared Chief Inspector Pierre as he walked behind the desk to handcuff Denis.
"What? This is ridiculous,"
shouted Monsieur Dupré, standing up in protest.
"I had nothing to do with anything. That phone call, I was just pretending. I don't know anything about the Mona Lisa."
"That's not what your accomplice said," remarked Henri. "You arranged for the guard on duty to turn off the surveillance equipment between 7:50 and 7:55 p.m. so Karl Pont could steal the painting and there would be no record of him entering the room."
Pierre pulled Monsieur Dupré from behind his desk. The big man had turned red with rage.
"Thanks, Jacques," said Henri, holding out his hand to shake Jack's. "We couldn't have done this without you."
"No problem," said Jack, smiling and trying to avoid the evil glares from Monsieur Dupré.
"Now, let's see if we can find a comfortable cell for you," the chief inspector said to Denis as he led him down the hall.
Henri waved to Jack as he and Monsieur Dupré stepped into the lift. Jack waved back. Jack walked over to the second lift and stepped inside. Out of his book bag, he pulled a round button with the letter H on it and placed it over the G for ground floor. He pushed it, and the button began to glow. "Home, please," said Jack, and the lift began to move downwards. As it descended, he yelled, "Off to England!" When the lift doors opened again, Jack found himself in the middle of his bedroom, just as he had left it. As he stepped out of the lift, it vanished behind him. The time on his clock was 7:31 p.m. Perfect, he thought, as he sat down to finish drawing his comic book hero, Super Smash. Jack knew his sketch would never be as famous as the works of art he saw in Paris, but he didn't care. Art, after all, Jack reckoned, wasn't about fame, it was about fun. And that's just what Jack was doing now. Having a blast drawing Super Smash, destroying Tortua with a powerful disc that stole her power. Now that, thought Jack, is a great idea.